Good evening. It is Tuesday, May 28, 2024, 6 p.m., and I call the assembly to order. Roll call tonight will be led by Assemblymember Powell.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Yes, Assemblymembers Robbins, Morrison, Audison.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Here.
Powell.
Here.
DeBoer.
Here.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Here. Thank you. Ceremonial matters, there are none tonight. Persons to be heard?
Say no.
It appears we have no persons to be heard. Amendments to the agenda.
Madam Mayor, I would like to move the 2024 Certified Real Property Tax Roll Report off the consent agenda and down to new business.
Unfinished
business.
All right, so that is item 6B under unfinished business. Any other amendments? All right, hearing none, we'll go on. Conflict of interest. Any assembly member have any conflict? All right, none. Item 6, consent agenda, with the exception of 6B.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Audison. Any discussion? Assembly member DeBoer?
As submitted or as amended?
Okay,
yeah.
As amended.
Ed, actually, I did state with the exception of item B before he made that motion.
I'll put it as amended.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Borough manager's report, please.
Great. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I got a short borough manager's report for you tonight, but a lot of progress demonstrated over the past couple weeks, and I'll start by notifying the public that the SEPA annual diesel run is to take place between June 6th and June 12th. We'll be sending out a press release tomorrow to allow people the opportunity to conserve power during those time frames. If you recall, in our new fee and rate structure, we'll be actually assessing the meter readings during the window of the actual diesel annual maintenance run. So on the day one, we'll take a reading, and at the end of the run, if they finish early or on June 12th, we'll lock that window in, and then we'll charge the fuel surcharge accordingly so people have the opportunity to save some money. So that was the goal, and be on the lookout for that. I'd also like to thank the folks at Municipal Light and Power for doing a great job preparing for the run. They got unit number 5 control upgrades done in advance of the diesel run, which is something that I think that we've been trying to do for a long, long time. I think the Assembly's been
yes.
notified over that for the last couple of years. So they ran it all week with EPS in town, so really great. Replaced the battery bank that the little mini generator flows to the big unit. So we're looking good, and they're going to do some last minute preparations this week and do a trial run, and we'll be all good to go for the annual diesel maintenance run. Regarding borough hiring status, there's several positions that we are in the process of filling. Previously reported, we have a police chief, fire chief, harbor maintenance and security, finance director, borough controller, a public works foreman, maintenance specialist, 1, 2, or 3, and then a facilities maintenance specialist. So of that, I'm happy to report we're coming up on a final decision for police chief. Really competitive pool of candidates. Really appreciate everybody applying. So we'll be reaching out and coming out with our final decision here in the next few days. May 31st was our deadline there. Fire chief has been hired. Happy to announce that Joe Yance has accepted the harbor maintenance and security position at the Port and Harbors Department. So welcome him to the borough. Finance director, interviewed one candidate today. Have some additional candidates in the pool for consideration, but that's good progress. We have 2 candidates for borough controller. Public works foreman has been hired, which has allowed us to seek applicants for the maintenance specialist 1, 2, or 3 position. And then we're still waiting applications for facilities maintenance specialists. So we've done a pretty good job of reloading with a lot of hiring at one time. So really appreciate all the directors who've been taking part in the hiring committees and all the hours they've spent in evaluating candidates. And also, if you're interested in applying, please visit wrangle.com/jobs, and that'll point you to all the potential opportunities here with the borough. FEMA public assistance reimbursement. We've been working through the process. FEMA's been really great. I think in prior disasters like the windstorm, we didn't have like a really great coordinated team on either the state or the FEMA side, and this has been really great. We have weekly meetings, check-ins, and Jamie Roberts has been doing a phenomenal job of leading the charge on all the admin behind the scenes, and we're looking at getting a $900,000 reimbursed through FEMA and targeting our Category B works first, so should have that reimbursed within the next three to six months, but we're thinking three, so excited to see that money return back to the borough. IBEW petition to unionize the police department. Borough's been notified of that. I know that the press has asked a few questions. We're continuing discussions with the IBEW on unionizing the police department and how that may be structured. So working towards some agreements prior to potentially an objection, but at this time just working through that, and things have been tracking really nicely. Budget meetings and path to a budget adoption. Tonight we got the mill rate, which is incredibly important to our budget and our general fund budget. Slated at the same mill rate, 9.75, no increase, which is significant and a goal of the assembly. And then we'll certify the assessment roll as well. Budget presentation will be on June 5th at 6 p.m. And I think the plan this year, my plan, is to present the budget to you guys before distributing a copy and then coming back and doing a potential revision work session prior to budget adoption. I want you guys to have several weeks to review the document. It won't be ready till that initial night, so I think it's good to present it before having a bunch of questions and having you guys go through it, having you guys a couple weeks to have a dialogue with me about it and offer some revisions or some considerations, and then we'll have a follow-up if need be, and then we'll have the budget adoption on June 25th. So tracking nicely, living within our means. We had a nice meeting with Huna Totem Corporation. I heard a lot of the members of the community discussing our recent meeting. I don't know how this wasn't really publicly advertised, but it got around, and that's really great. You know, the borough's committed to exploring any opportunities with businesses and people that want to be community partners here in Wrangell, and we are looking at solutions for the mill property, ranging from Coast Guard defense, other utilities, including solar, tourism expansion. So a lot of different opportunities we're exploring. Maybe some specialty wood product development. So this isn't our only one, but really thankful for Huna Totem Corp hosting us up at their headquarters in Juneau, and we'll continue those discussions and bring that back to the public and the assembly as events transpire. Property tax revenue comparison. I just wanted to offer a brief comparison, and we can kind of get more into the weeds on this in the item tonight, but FY25, which is our upcoming fiscal year to start on July 1st, we have projected property tax revenue of $2.105 million and a total tax base assessed value of $228.6 million. Last year we had tax revenue recognized in FY24 of $2,095,519 and then a total tax base assessed value of $224,907,000. So not a huge change in our overall tax base, about $4 million related to mostly outside of service area increases. Most folks in the town stayed the same in terms of assessed value, and our mill rate's going to stay the same this year if approved by the assembly tonight. I'll get more into that in the item tonight. Municipal Entitlement Lines had a really engaging conversation with a forest engineer this last week about doing timber cruises and crafting strategic harvest plan potentially for our entitlement lands, and the first step will be stratifying all of our entitlement lands and all our borough property. I think we shouldn't just pigeonhole ourselves to their entitlement lands. There's actually a lot of parcels among the borough that could be suitable for timber harvest, and so we'll kind of stratify all those properties into intended uses and what could be suitable for and profitable for a timber harvest, and then we'll go through and kind of quantify that through timber cruises throughout the summer, and then hopefully by the end of summer we'll have some figures to debate as an assembly and manager, and maybe get off to the races with some surveying and some harvest in 25 with the state as well at Earl West. So that's an exciting update, and I know that's something that Assembly Member DeVord has been saying for quite some time. I know we got the money in the budget. We'll reallocate that for the timber cruises and the borough organizational fund.
And this may stimulate DNR to allow us to, you know, issue those permits and those deeds. our land.
And this particular forest engineer has a business. He does a lot of logging in Oregon, Washington, Montana, and Alaska. I believe the figure was over 200 million board feet his business had harvested. But he's also, that's what was the start of his career as a forest engineer. So a lot of experience in evaluating the value of timber and how to best sustainably log it. And if we have, a 60-year cycle, how do we sustainably incrementally do that over time? And maybe it's only, a 250,000 board feet a year, but that still could translate into $100,000 every year for 60 years and, inflation proofing that in a contract. So might be a steady revenue stream.
Madam Mayor?
Yes. Assemblymember Delvin.
Comment to the manager. I would suggest that you also go talk to the Forest Service, their timber people, and maybe just explain what you're hoping to do and put that together with the person that you talk to, both in how to do it and especially what inventories and things the Forest Service has and similar things, because they have looked over time at pretty much every acre out there, in the last 50 years or so. And they have inventories and stuff that expand beyond their lands, which would help anybody in that. But also, the Forest Service does do that, or they used to in the old days, and they may have some pointers on how to structure that, whoever's going to do it. But I would recommend just talking to them and kind of in the bigger picture about their assets and any thoughts they have.
That sounds great. Thanks, Assemblymember Dalrymple. And I'll also involve Greg Staunton, who's the leader of DNR's forestry management. And so we'll work with Forest Service in the state to craft a good plan, and maybe we can kind of have a little niche here for specialty wood product development in Wrangell, which would translate into maybe cheaper prices of materials for home building and other unintended positive consequences, maybe even 12 to 24 jobs. So
good.
Moving on, a little hospital buyer, Wayne Johnson, will be coming to town on Thursday, May 30th to close up the old hospital sale. So looking forward to getting that across the finish line. I'll report to the assembly as we reach those critical milestones and give you guys an update on how stripping the building is going. We still have some work to do on that, and I know the buyer's been amenable to allowing us to take our time to do so. Legal RFP, it was an assembly goal to get all our contracts expiring 6 months in advance out to out to bid or request for proposals. So we've done that with our municipal legal services, and we've already received one new candidate for new proposal. So that's exciting, and encourage anybody that's served in the past and wants to serve the borough in the future to apply, as well as our existing council. So look forward to evaluating those, and we'll provide the assembly a process for evaluating those municipal service candidates as the deadline approaches, which will be July 12th. Some good news, public safety building, $2 million through Senator Murkowski will be moving forward to the RD committee for appropriation and deliberation. Just received that news at about 4 p.m. today, so that's exciting. I know that we had a $6.5 million project budgeted. One thing that her legislative assistant informed me of is even if we trim down the project, that won't trim down the $2 million prorated. So if we wanted to do just the roof and do a complete roof overhaul, that $2 million could do that, and we wouldn't have to do any match on top of that. So that's really exciting and a step in the right direction, and we'll continue to pursue the community facilities loan program for low interest for loans. But we plan on a construction project in early summer and to begin early summer next year in 25 all the way through next year. So hopefully we can make it on our promise to the public of taking care of that ugly, ugly building. And savings, we've done a lot of efforts to batten down the hatches and save some money here at the borough. Most recently, we've offered some retirement incentives. If you haven't been keeping track, we've turned over about 24% of our staff in the last 18 months. Many of those tenured 20, 25, 30 plus year employees. They're all, a lot of experience, also some of your most costly employees. So we've regrouped really well, which has allowed for some cost savings to incur here. And we did negotiate a successful collective bargaining agreement that we did have several cost savings to note, and we'll be releasing more details as we pass the personnel policy and button in that process up for the fiscal year. about $3 million in investment income anticipated for fiscal year 24, although it's a moving target with the markets the way they are, so we'll give a full-on analysis at year end. But I know our permanent fund has gained over $1 million just in the last year, so that's exciting. And then 5% on $40 million over the year, that's pretty darn good. So recall in 2021, we didn't have anything invested outside of the permanent fund, so that's a great step in the right direction. Not necessarily a cost savings measure, but we're making money on our money, which is great. And another thing I would note is we've been very, very successful in securing state and federal funding, thus subsidizing the taxpayers' obligation to recapitalize infrastructure in the borough. 12.7 through the state so far. Hopefully the gov keeps Wrangell in mind and the veto process and doesn't knock us off anything, and really appreciate his advocacy throughout the year with the landslide and other happenings. And then the $2 million for the public safety building, that's 14.7 just in the last four and a half months, which is really, really good. Probably the best we've done in a long time, if ever. And we got June 27th, the raise grant coming out for hopefully $25 million. So fingers crossed, Patty, you'll be popping champagne bottles if we get that, which would be very, very exciting. You know, we might have a $50 million year in the best case scenario. So that could be very, very exciting. So we're doing a lot of things to, you know, make effective use of the taxpayers' dollars. You'll see that in the budget. We're going to look at positions and consolidation of facilities and just, you know, try to stretch the dollar as far as we can go, and no frivolous spending to be incurred. So I'd offer up any questions. And
in terms of budget, tell the public our two main sources of revenue are the $2.1 million for property tax and the approximately $4 million from sales tax, correct?
That's correct.
And that's $6.1 million, and what that's is correct. Our operating budget?
Our general fund operating budget was $6.1 million last year.
Okay. So we are operating on those two revenue sources, plus in addition to that, 14.7 to date, the recent date of grants coming into town. So
I think this is a good opportunity to maybe elaborate to the public that oftentimes people say, well, 14.7, how come we're even getting charged property taxes? Well, the reality is that 14.7 is for very specific things.
Projects, yes.
Projects, infrastructure. So we can't just go spend that on roads. So they're for specific grants like the public safety building. I didn't really give Senator Murkowski a real good shout out, but we should, because there's perhaps no bigger advocate for the city and borough of Wrangell lately than Senator Murkowski. $2 million for the reservoir bypass, $2.5 million for the water treatment plant, now pushing forward $2 million to the public safety building. Gov put $5 million for the dam, but nobody advocating for the city and borough of Wrangell like Senator Murkowski in recent days. So we really, really thank her for her support.
Any questions? Assembly Member Dalrymple.
I do have a question going back to electricity in SEPA. Maybe 2 weeks ago, there was I guess they called it a pole fire down at Ketchikan that kicked everybody's power out for, I don't know how many, a lot of hours. And then they had both in the paper and then on the radio, they had a little more follow-up on that. But I'm just wondering, and maybe you know, or you could ask and report back to us, Why are we still at, was that just a total anomaly or not? Because in the old days, it seemed like every time an eagle landed anywhere on power, the whole thing went down everywhere. And then for the last 5 years or so, that stopped until now. And my understanding, according to the news report, was that it was an old insulator that hadn't been maintained and it burnt the pole, however that happens. But I was just wondering what mechanisms are in place to protect the other communities and especially the generators, if that can happen. At a, apparently, according to this news story, a electrical system that has not been maintained.
That's a great question. And so I can answer it as far as the information I've received to date. However, I know that they're still investigating the actual circumstances and the specifics, and they're going to provide a report to the SEPA board meeting that will be hosted in Wrangell in June. So we'll be looking for that report. So what I know is there was a pole fire in Ketchikan, KPU pole. That KPU went down at that time. SEPA ended up picking up the load, which forced Taiyi into a negative 2.5 megs. and still blacking out the whole system. Tai struggled to get back online due to emergency response lag in their generators. They weren't able to fire them up right away, and their communication system was not up to snuff at that time, so they've made those proper corrections so that their little generator, it's much like our little generator at the plant, fires up automatically. They have comms that they can articulate to the headquarters what's going on. So they've made those adjustments, but Swan was right up, and that was what the delay was for. We had a similar issue at our local power plant with the battery bank, and that's why we just replaced all the batteries. It took a little bit longer than we wanted to get everything up, so... But I can offer a better report once we know.
Yeah, that would be great. I think a lot of us have interest in that, and especially if there's a technology fix besides different levels of maintenance, that we're at kind of a risk of. So, again, I know that it sounds like the Ketchikan Public Utilities has some work to do to upgrade their maintain their systems, but mm-hmm. still... kind of shocked that little of an event could have taken the whole thing down.
Yeah, that's a great consideration, and that was my question to Robert Seidman about, I'm not an electric lineman or infrastructure specialist in power generation, but it seems like there should be a manual switch before picking up a whole load from KPU, but it sounds like that's not built in, so we'll get some feedback from SEPA and understand how to best prepare ourselves.
Thank you.
And along those same lines, with electrical, will you give us at our next meeting a report on those three megawatt transformers that we purchased and when they will be installed and what the holdup is on installation? I think I know, but for the public, we need to have an explanation of that.
Absolutely. And we've been waiting for Amber Aladad, our capital projects director, and Dwight to get together in the same room so they can talk a little bit more in depth about the project. And so we'll have them at our next meeting.
Great. Yeah. Great. Thank you. Any other questions? Assemblymember DeBoard.
A couple things. One, I'd like to double check and make sure. I know we bought a lot of transformers and things of that nature in the last couple years, but... I think we're doing a really good job at maintaining everything and replacing everything, but if we can just double check that and make sure that they're getting everything they need. Second was, you said we made $3 million. Could you give us a little bit better breakdown of that briefly?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And third was, did we get rid of the generator at the hospital? Did that sell on the bidding site?
That did sell, and the buyer's working with us because the wall has to get torn down to access that generator and for them to strip it out of there. So he's been patient, working with the hospital buyer to accommodate that.
Yeah.
Do you remember the dollar figure?
So for the minimum, I think it was $5,000.
Okay. Good enough.
$5,000 a head, though.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that's great, and I'll be sure to provide a little bit more of an investment analysis. What I can do for inventory, just so you guys can see it on paper, I can provide, when we do our year-end count, you guys can see how many poles and transformers we hold, what the applications are. That way it kind of gives you guys the confidence that it's there and independently verify just rather than me telling you that. But we've sat through inventory counts the last couple of years, and we have plenty of transformers, plenty of poles. With the landslide, we restocked up, and we plan to do some power to the shooting range, and we got power going out to Aldertop with that development, so we got lots
industrial lots.
Industrial lots.
Power out there.
Yeah, so lots of projects.
My big concern is just these things are back-ordered for 12, 16, 18, 24 months, and just want to make sure that we get ahead of the problem before we have it.
Yeah, that's a great consideration, top of mind for Dwight Yancey and crew.
Also pumps. We seem to be rehabbing pumps all the time.
And we can include that in our inventory too.
And I mentioned this to our borough clerk, but when you get the emergency operations plan complete, I would like to have an inventory of emergency equipment, where it is, who maintains it. I mean, even in the whole town, WCA may have some emergency equipment that could be available in if we ever need something like that. But yeah, we need to know locations. Where's our chainsaw winches and things of that sort?
Yeah, happy to report that too, and progress in the EOP. Right now we kind of have like an executive summary that we've used, so we got all the phone numbers in there in case anything, and we still have our existing EOP.
Right.
And I'll probably venture to guess we're going to end up having a dumbed down version of our EOP, just because it's not, we talk about it at length all the time about having a 220-page EOP, and then a crisis hits and nobody has time to read through 50 pages on how to respond to a fire or a landslide. So we're going to try to, you know, make it concise and useful for everybody, and update, so it makes it a lot easier to update as well. But all the while, we'll make sure we're in compliance with up-to-date standards as well.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? All right. And we have a Harbor Master's report available. Is there any questions on that report?
Yeah.
Assembly Member Powell.
So, as we all know, there's a big fire in Juneau and lost a couple of boats there and stuff. And did we ever get anything back from Port Commission, or where are we at with this situation?
Still haven't got anything from the Port Commission. I know they've struggled to get together in recent days and get a quorum. I think where we left off was looking more into the types of insurance. It's been a little bit hard to get some answers given everybody's insurance renewals are happening right now. So everybody's attention's towards that. I think the best plan of action would be to, after the new fiscal year hits, make that a July priority. And it's going to take some time to implement, too. So it's likely we're not going to have this in place until the next calendar year. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't stop making progress towards it.
I don't really like that, to be honest with you. I think that now that we've had this on the table, and we've had one in Ketchikan, now we've had one in Juneau. It can happen to us, and we're sitting here on our hands, and it happens to somebody. I just have a feeling that we could be into a lot of trouble if we don't act on it. I mean, the Port Commission already came out with something. We kind of picked through it a little bit and stuff, and I would like to move that forward. I know what you're saying, but it's not going to move forward if we don't move it forward. And I know there were some naysays on it, but I would probably say 80% more people saying, yeah, I carry insurance and I want people to carry insurance next to me and blah, blah, blah. So I just have a bad feeling that if we have a fire right now and we burn up a couple, you know, even a $100,000 boat or $1 million boat, it's not going to look good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that we could have done something about it.
I think that's a great consideration. Well, we can plan on bringing something back. I don't know when the Port Commission's next meeting is. Kim, do you have that?
I don't know, because they take a hiatus during the summer months.
Yeah.
What do we do in that circumstance?
We could ask Steve to call a special. But he would have to call a special.
Okay. Given the Port Commission has seen this a couple different times and we have a ballpark where we want to go, would it be appropriate for me to then propose an iteration of what's been proposed to the Assembly?
Do you guys feel confident? When we sat here, that's what I thought was going to happen.
Okay.
In my eyes, I thought that's what, when we did this whole thing and had that works yesterday, I thought that you and we're going to come up with, you know, another, maybe an idea or whatever. As far as I'm concerned, I looked at it again, and they did a lot of work on it. And we kind of picked it apart, but we never came up with a plan. You know, no one came up with anything. So as far as I'm concerned, we go with their plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we implement what they said to do and do their plan, because I think it looks really bad on us that they did all that research, they did all the stuff for it, they sent it to us, and we send it back to them, and nothing's been done with it at all. And I'm just getting really worried that if we have a fire, we look like schmucks, as far as I'm concerned, because we're not doing it, you know? So I would rather have you come up with something and bring it forward to us and say, this is what I came up with, and I would, you know, get it implemented.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can certainly work on that.
Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, I might have been part of confusing the issue, because to me, the derelict vessels is also part of this. And that was my focus. The insurance, I think that needs to play out. But one thing that I was waiting for, and it concerned me a little bit, was we were told that everybody's doing this. And I couldn't find it in any other harbor's requirements on that. Not that I'm an expert at researching that. But that would be something very, I think, useful for you guys or the Port Commission to see how other people are meant, the language to use, the requirements, who's applied to, et cetera, on that.
No, that's great feedback. So what I'm hearing is I'll bring back a version of what makes sense per the work session that we had with the Assembly and the Port Commission, likely going to be something along the lines of vessels in excess of a blank footage would be required for liability coverage to include salvage. Obviously, if a boat burns down another boat, that's a civil matter for the other boat to refute. And then we'd probably want to ensure our most high-risk floats, probably our transient floats, and take a look at what that option looks like. And put the maneuverability assessment in there. Like we said, once a year, your vessel should be able to maneuver outside the harbor. And then we'll showcase other municipalities' codes. And it won't be perfect, because these things are never perfect. And then next year, we'll take a look at it and see how it went.
Yeah. And I know it's either Whittier or Seward. I found language in their codes. Mm-hmm. Borough Clerk, did you have a comment?
So I did do some research on insurance and what other municipalities were doing, and the overall reaching response was, we've talked about it, we want to do it, let us know what you do.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And, well, the other thing is, like, we've worked on quite a few yachts this year, and a lot of those guys came up, and they talked to me about the insurance issue because it was brought up, and most ports down south, when you pull in, they ask you for your information on your boat, and please bring up your insurance papers when you come up to the harbor office. And there was three different boats we did this year, and all three of those people said, it's floored that we can come into Wrangell, leave our boat in this harbor, and these are big yachts, mm-hmm. and have no insurance, you're not required to have insurance, and then the guy next to us is not required to have insurance. And you take one of those, 60, 80 foot yachts and catch it on fire, it's going to take the dock and everything.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, you're not going to get down there and fight it without, So that's my concern, biggest concern is that too.
I think it's a valid concern to have, so we'll make some moves to address it, and I think we can probably get that on the June 11th agenda. It's a pretty quick turnaround, but I think we could probably do that.
Assembly member Dalrymple.
One more observation. I didn't really know if I had insurance. I had insurance on the boat because the bank said I had to, but sure enough, it comes with liability as well. And there's just like a car, it has insured and uninsured, or non-insured and underinsured section. But that's again what dollar amounts would go in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Assembly member DeBoard.
My two cents. I almost think we break it out between like liability, fire, and then sinking, recovery. So I have mine with State Farm. I asked. It took me a month to get it back from my broker, and she said that actually I'm not covered if my boat were to sink. That's mm-hmm. an extra rider. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people think that because they have liability insurance, you're good to go, but it was an extra, and she said not very many people have it. Yep. So we're kind of getting into the weeds of, can you require that, and it's going to be an extra. I do kind of agree with Dave. Fire is easy to kind of cover. I understand it might be more of a civil thing, but at the same point in time, it could take out the whole dock, right. And then we're in big trouble, and then maybe it is a civil issue, but we require people to have insurance on their car just in case they hit somebody in the parking lot or on the road. I don't think it's that big of a stretch, but kind of a two-tiered approach. Take care of the fire, which would probably be the easier part, and then really take some time and dive into what we would even, if we can't, I don't want to require people to get something that they literally can't afford or can't even get. What do you do then?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do we not let new boats into the harbor? I mean, it's just going to be a lot more of a process to determine that than it will liability for fire.
That makes sense. Would you still want to, just maybe with some head nods, would you guys still be in favor of a vessel size restriction or application for even fire, because the main concern is probably the disposal rather than a whole main walk burning down, mm-hmm. especially for ensuring the most biggest liabilities in terms of floats.
Or able to maneuver it out of the way of other vessels and mm-hmm. the dock.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll just wait and see when I bring the item, I suppose, yeah. huh?
Give us a couple of options.
Hold this right now and wait until you come up and then have a discussion on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Because you're not, we're not, we don't have nobody here that knows that we're talking about this, so.
Yeah. yeah. But we'll okay. task you with that. Thank you for bringing that up. Any other discussion? All right, hearing none, borough clerk's report.
Okay, well, manager Valarma talked about the second work session for the budget, so, excuse me, we're looking at having that, when did we say it was?
June 20th.
I thought it was the 19th.
Is that a Thursday?
I thought I remember 19 as a number.
Thursday the 20th.
Oh, okay.
Possibly. So, so Monday, or excuse me, Wednesday, June 5th. Of course, I'll send out a reminder.
It does say June 19th.
It is the 19th in the report.
Oh, okay. We'll amend it to June 20th.
Okay.
I think you said this morning 19th, and then you said this June 20th.
Okay.
So, and then I am going to be going down to the Northwest Clerks Association or Institute for the Master Professional Development course. And I'm really excited this year. They're going to be doing problem solving, which is fine and always good, but also threat and disaster crisis management. So I'm really excited about that. They've never done one of these classes like that. And it's an all-week class on those specific items, which is, it's very in-depth. So I'm really excited to see what I can bring back from that. And while I'm gone, the June 11th meeting, I won't be here. Bobby will clerk for me for that meeting. And other than that, I don't have anything.
Okay. Any questions, Assembly? Okay. Next item, Mayor and Assembly business. I do want to point out that the canoers are in town, and right now there's a potluck at the Nolan, and we are invited to attend after the assembly meeting, and we wish them, the canoers, a safe journey and travels, and we enjoy the fact that they're celebrating their heritage and culture. What a wonderful way to do that, a meaningful way to honor their elders. And it's a joy to have them stop in Wrangell and continue on their way to Juneau for celebration. So we wish them well. Any other assembly business? All right, mayor and assembly appointments, there are none tonight. So we'll start with public hearing, item 11A. Ordinance number 1056 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 11.04.020, titled Traffic Fine Schedule, Adoption of State Bail Forfeiture Schedules by Reference in the Wrangell Municipal Code. And Assembly, this is on page 997. And I'm going to open the public hearing and request an administrative report.
So this is the second ordinance number 1054. Essentially allows, 1056, sorry, the police department to use the track system, and fees are directly remitted to the court system through that automated process, and then we'll receive roughly 90% of the fines paid with administrative functions being conducted by the state. And so this language allows us to do that.
Great, thank you. And there's no public testimony, so I'm going to close the public hearing and request a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1056.
Dalrymple seconds.
Okay, motion by Otteson, second by Dalrymple. Any discussion? This is basically a housekeeping item. All right. Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Under unfinished business, we have the former item 6B, acceptance of the 2024 Certified Real Property Tax Roll Report. And I will have a motion to accept the 2024 Certified Real Property Tax Roll Report made by... Assembly member DeBoer.
Move to accept the 2024 Certified Real Property Tax Roll Report.
Thank you. Second,
Second. Audison.
Thank you. Administrative report, please.
That's great. Well, Borough Clerk Lane has an amended motion for you guys to read tonight. I'll explain that in a second, but generally give you guys the gist of the assessment roll. It's a lot of pages, plus you have the 2023 roll. The reason for the 2023 roll is because I'm not allowed to certify it, or wasn't as finance director, technically by code, so we had the assessor recertify that roll. 24, generally much of the same. We had outside service area increases, roughly translating to about $4 million in aggregate assessed value added to the base assessed value for property taxes. We had an increase in senior property tax exemptions, so we went from 311 to 316 for fiscal year 25. Last year was $40,097,800 in senior citizen exemptions from the total, and this year we'll have $41,360,000. We also had the addition of our volunteer firefighter / EMS responder. We had 11 of those applications get submitted for $106,000 in total, so that was a little bit of an increase, but not material for our purposes. We had steady on disabled vet exemptions year over year, and fire suppression actually was seeing a slight decrease in exemption activity. So overall, really the main cause in our stagnation is our senior citizen exemptions increase and a slight increase in our outside service area, which has a mill rate of 4 currently, which doesn't have much of an impact in terms of property tax revenue. So $10,000 increase in property tax revenue. So for people tracking, that's not even close to 2%, which is kind of our goal for any of our rates and fees to at least track annualized inflation. So that's what we're up against. And so the amended motion for tonight, which Clerk Lane just passed out, is to correct a manifest error that we caught in the 24 assessment roll. Basically, the Roberts family parcel 03020-307 included 500 square feet roughly that should not have been included because it doesn't exist and it has for quite some time in their assessment. So this is backing that out due to a manifest error. And so it asked the assembly and recommend that they make that amended motion.
Move to amend the calendar year 2024 tax assessment, specifically parcel 03-020-307 from $253,900 to $207,800, correcting the manifest error.
Second.
Okay, motion, amended motion by Powell, second by Audison. Any discussion on this?
The manifest error, what's that mean?
Basically means an error in how the roll was presented initially, and so they had missed that as kind of oversight error, clerical error. And
was a clerical error from Mike Renfro? Or
yes.
So only thing I asked them is when we have these, because we have these in the past, that we have a letter or something from Mike Renfro stating that this was an error that they've done, and you know, just for that purpose of, because this just looks kind of weird to me. Mm-hmm.
It does look kind of weird.
It's just one piece of paper and doesn't really say where, why the error was there. It doesn't really say, it doesn't have an explanation. And I'd like to see that for that, you know, when we do vote on something like this, that we know exactly why we're voting on this.
Yeah, that's completely fair. And we'll do that. We actually caught that a few hours ago today. So.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty hard to get a letter in that time frame, but given the item was tonight, we figured that was the best way instead of coming back with a manifest update.
Okay, and Assembly Member Powell's correct. We've had these in the past. Any other comments, discussion? Okay, let's vote on the amendment first. And this is to amend that particular parcel.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Now the main motion as amended. Is everyone with me? Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members DeBoer?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right. Thank you. Under new business, item 13A, resolution numbers 05-24-1865 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, levying a general tax for school and municipal purposes upon all taxable property within the borough for the tax year 2024, pursuant to Wrangell Municipal Code Section 5.04.010, providing for the collection of taxes due in 2023 and prescribing penalties and interest for delinquent taxes. Should that read 2024?
It should say due in 2025.
Okay. Taxes due in 2025.
What it says on the my resolution here.
Oh, I'm reading it off the. Yeah, I'm reading it off here. Okay.
Sorry.
So 2025.
Oh yeah, on the paper.
Yeah.
On the agenda statement.
Yes.
It has it there, right?
Before it comes, before the
motion.
Right. So on in the packet, it's correct.
Okay.
So it looks like it was amended.
I snuck one in on the clerk and
otherwise.
All right.
But it was to the public, it was the 2025.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. All right, need a motion.
Move to approve resolution number 05-24-1825.
Six.
Okay, motion by Audison. I think there was a second by DeBoer.
Second, yeah.
All right, administrative report, please.
The exciting item, we got our mill rate each year that we look at. And so for inside service this year, inside service area, that means generally you're connected to the road system here in town. And so that's Wrangell Island. Outside of service would be anything off island. Examples would be like Olive Cove, Tom's Place, up the river, those types of properties. 9.75 in service, 4 mills outside of service. We are recommending to the assembly to keep those millage rates the same, so no increases year over year, as that was an assembly goal. $6.1 million in general fund operating expenditures, which this property tax revenue will go towards funding our general fund operating budget and potentially our capital budget if we really ratchet down spending. Just for the listening public, the total assessed value again is $228.6 million. Of that, the inside service area, $207 million is what composes the inside service area in terms of taxable value. And then we have $21 million for outside of service area property, which is a fairly significant increase. I believe it was $16 million this last year. So sizable increase for outside of service. What I like to express and how I like to express the millage rate in terms of a mill is I take a weighted average of the inside service area and the outside service area, which translate, I call it the WAMR, which is a weighted average mill rate. And the WAMR for the proposed WAMR for 2025 is 9.44. And if you take that as a percentage of the total aggregate of assessed value, we're down to $223,000 in per mill this year. So every mill represents $223,000. And we will express the millage rate and the budget in relationship to the services that are provided through the millage rate. So fire service, police, public safety, and then library, and then potentially administrative functions. And then we're going to stick to that year over year so that we're tracking appropriately. And then we have our 80% from sales taxes, obviously funding the rest of the general fund. That's pretty much it.
And this year especially, we're setting our revenue goal and then building our budget around that.
That's correct.
And last year we dropped the mill rate 3 mills.
Yep.
And this year we're maintaining that reduction. So I'm proud of that. I did discuss with the finance director slash borough manager if we could drop it another quarter of a mil and down to 9.5, but it doesn't realize that much of a cost savings to the public, and it would represent a $52,000-$51,000 loss that I think we're operating pretty lean as it is, and I think that would probably get us into some trouble.
That's correct, and we, on a $300,000 house, for example, I believe it was only $75 you'd save in that quarter mil.
$75, yeah.
And so when we're already as lean as we are, and you know we're going to be contemplating a lot of things in the budget, and it's going to be a tough year to meet our budget, but we will. I think it's probably prudent to keep it as is and have no mill rate increases over the year.
Okay, hope we can maintain this. Any questions? Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Just a point of clarification, there's some discrepancies in the resolution number. The title says 18.65, the resolution itself says 18.65, the attachment says 18.25, and the recommended motion discussion is 18.25, so typo, I think.
18.65. Mm-hmm. Okay. So noted that the motion would be 18.65. Is that clear for everyone?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good catch. I had not caught that.
Borough Clerk Lane's going to wring my neck after the meeting.
Right. Well, you're doing double duty. Finance and borough manager. All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 13B is on page 1004. Resolution number 05-24-1866 of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, accepting a loan from the State of Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation State Revolving Fund as interim loan for the Water Treatment Plant Improvements Project and authorizing associated expenditures.
Move to approve resolution number 05-24-1866.
Second.
Okay, motion by Audison, second by Powell. Administrative report on this, please.
So if you guys recall, this interim financing is in place for the USDA loan that will be the permanent loan in an equal amount. So we received an increase in the USDA loan, about $1.9 million this last fiscal year. And so this is bringing the SRF loan up to that same term loan amount. There is a finance charge of 0.5% as a result of taking the interim loan out. We didn't realize that at first. It's fairly nominal for our purposes here in the grand scheme of the project. Our water treatment plant budget is actually below budget currently right now. So, and we also have that $2.5 million in CDS funding to put to work towards the end of the project. So we feel really comfortable in addressing the finance charge. So how this will operate is we'll start spending down on this interim SRF loan. It'll close, and then we'll take out the USDA term loan upon substantial completion of the water treatment plant project. And this also has a $500,000 subsidy associated with it, so we'll be taking $500,000 off the top of the loan amount.
And we have to repay this in 1 year?
We have to... No.
We don't?
No.
That's what I read.
So, well, I'm sorry, yes, we do. The USDA loan will effectively pay off the interim loan, yes, and then we'll have a 40-year term for the USDA loan. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the fee is $29,000 approximately.
That's correct.
Okay. And it's billed as 0% interest, but then they have that loan fee attached to it, yeah.
That's correct, yep.
Any questions? Assembly member Dalrymple.
Is there any downside or risk? It seems like a really good deal to me, but what could go wrong? And what would happen if it did go wrong?
Well, that's a tough one. I'd have to rub my crystal ball on all the possibilities of what could go wrong with debt and financing a large project like this. However, this has been the plan all along, and we feel really comfortable. We've been meeting our cash flow needs for quite some time now. We're about 10 months away from project completion. So we've been paying very material invoices out strategically through the Department of Commerce grant that we received for $4.1 million to the designated legislative grant. That's nearly been exhausted. And then we had some borough funds that we put towards the project. And we have the EDA grant that we received, roughly $5 million. And that's being spent down on and almost towards completion. And now we're getting into the SRF. Interim loan, and then that will operate to engage the USDA term loan, and then we'll be off to the races and trying to achieve the CDS funding. So,
yeah. And just a little more focus. We're very confident we'll get these two loans.
We have already received these loans.
I'm fine. I didn't understand.
So this is really the last piece of securing our financing for the water treatment plant. Everything else has went to plan, and you guys addressed the mortgage and parity agreements the last assembly meeting for USDA, EDA, and DEC. There was concerns about shared parity and lien positions, so we got all that ironed out, and thank Amber for operating through that. Just, it's been a lot for one person to handle, so... we're looking good.
And then this interim loan also has the provision of Buy America, Build America, I noticed, in mm-hmm. the loan. And that this is not the money we're using to buy the DAF module, correct?
That's correct.
And what money are we using to buy the DAF module?
So the DAF module was purchased originally through the Department of Commerce designated legislative grant. However, that was wrong, so we redid the grant reporting on it, just given that the AWC, Canadian components that don't meet the BABA requirements, were stripped out of the DL grant and then placed towards the SRF term loan, which is different than the interim loan, which is our own money through SRF.
Okay.
It's a bit involved.
Yeah, so, okay, but we've got it covered.
We
don't have that waiver yet, correct?
Not yet, but regardless, we've been reporting our grant and loan obligations as if the waiver's not going to get granted, so we're in compliance with our covenants. So if the waiver comes through, it'll just make it all easier and charge it through to the funding sources that are eligible. But for now, we're operating under the assumption that the waiver won't be, just out of an abundance of caution, even though we really think it will be.
Okay, but we don't know when. It'll be granted.
They've told us every other day for the last month, so,
Okay, so we're actively working on that. All right. That's one of the hang-ups, Assemblymember Dalrymple, that I've been worried about. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, poll vote, please.
Yes. Assemblymember Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Shabort?
Yes.
Addison?
Yes.
Yes. Item... 15A, executive session concerning borough clerk's annual evaluation. Assembly member, this is on what page? 1032. Waiting for a motion. Page 1032.
I move pursuant to 44.62.31(c)(2) that we recess into executive session to discuss matters that may tend to prejudice the reputation and character of any person, specifically the borough clerk's evaluation.
Second.
All right. Motion by Dalrymple, second by Addison. Any discussion? Obviously, we will invite the borough clerk in to executive session. All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes, Assemblymember Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.